الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما يتقبل الله من المتقين صدق الله العظيم Thank and praise Allah Ta'ala for granting us the opportunity of being witnessing the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, we are doing now a second segment for the three segments that we carry out. And the second segment in the pre-iftar program is got to do with tazkiyah. Getting more heavy. It's got to do with tazkiyah. So, that is the purification, the reformation of the self. Until that is not sorted out, our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be flawed, very weak, and sometimes not even there. One of the missions of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to make tazkiyah. Wa yuzakkihim. Quran, two places. Wa yuzakkihim. That he came and he purified the people. So the purification that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with was to purify the people from evil actions as well as from the spiritual maladies of the heart. So when there is purification of the heart, then only will all the beautiful qualities, the praiseworthy qualities, come into the heart of a person. And if there is no purification, then it is going to block. It is going to block any kind of good qualities to come into the heart of a person. So last year when we concluded, we were speaking about the beautiful quality of taqwa. So we'll just recap and pick up from there, inshallah, and we'll go on to the other qualities. Because if there is no taqwa, then all the other deeds are not going to come also. In fact, even if they are going to be deeds, they are going to be null and void in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There might be deeds that will take place, but they will have no effect. They will have no reward by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will not be in any way beneficial for us in the akhirat. So that is something we have to keep in mind at all times, that the deeds that I am carrying out, are they accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. This is the ayat that is mentioned where the sons of Adam alayhi salam, Habil and Qabil, they had to make qurbani. We know the story in the sixth para. We'll read it tomorrow in our tarawih, inshallah. So then the qurbani of the one got accepted and the other one did not get accepted. So Qabil did not get accepted. So he told Habil, I'm going to kill you. So Habil says, Allah accepts from those people who got taqwa. So the acceptance of all deeds is based on taqwa. So that is what we must ask ourselves at all times, that when I carried out this deed, was it based on taqwa? Now we come to the definition of taqwa again before we move forward. We mentioned it now Friday Bayan also, that taqwa refers to the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu asked one sahabi, that what is the definition of taqwa? We've heard this before. So he says, taqwa is this, that when you are walking in a pathway that is covered with a lot of thorns, the bush is thorns, the overgrown is also thorns, and now when you are walking in between there with your clothes, how are you going to walk? You say, I'm going to walk in such a manner that I will not let any of my clothes get caught in the thorns. So he says that is taqwa, that in our journey of life at all times we are so careful and cautious that I mustn't end up doing anything that is going to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In any sin that comes my way, I must save myself from that particular sin, because I have got the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So saving ourselves from the disobedience of Allah is what we refer to as taqwa. And once we have got this taqwa, where does it come again? Taqwa is in the heart. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed to the heart. He says, taqwa hahuna, taqwa hahuna, taqwa hahuna. So the seat of taqwa is in the heart. And once the purification takes place, then the taqwa also will come about. And then, inshallah, a person will able to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in very effective ways. When there is no taqwa, then obviously a person's deeds will not be accepted. Allah says, we only accept, innama yataqabbalullah, we only accept from the people who have got taqwa. Then, if there is taqwa, a person will have sincerity. Today the big problem is what? When we do any action, we do it for the wrong purposes. Allah save us. But sometimes we are doing it for some worldly motive, for recognition, for celebrity purposes, for gaining some worldly name or fame, whatever it might be. So all these things, if there is no taqwa, are going to come. And if there's taqwa, then a person is not going to in any way do any action and without sincerity. He will always do it with sincerity. So that is the other thing. Also, when there is taqwa, then we will be blessed with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one is, we say Allah loves us, but one is we love Allah. And when the love of Allah ta'ala comes into the heart of a person, then he is on a totally different level. All his mashayikh, all his great bizruf, all the awliya Allah, what is it that makes them so close to Allah? They have tasted the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in a manner that nothing else can actually distract them from Allah ta'ala. So if there's no taqwa, there's going to be no love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, when a person got taqwa, then he will have honor in the sight of Allah. Allah will honor him. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Verily, the most honorable amongst you in the sight of Allah are those who have got the most taqwa. So the more taqwa we have, the more we will become honored in the eyes of Allah. In this ayat here, more taqwa shows us that taqwa is of different levels. What is the height of taqwa? Haqqa tuqatihi. Fear Allah as is the right of Allah Ta'ala to be feared. Now, can we ever fulfill that right? We don't even know what is the position, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that is the open-ended ayat which tells us to carry on trying and trying, getting higher and higher and higher. And the one level of taqwa is that a person is trying at his own level and he's trying to do the best. And he said, I did the best, I did this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will continue. We mentioned in our last year's talk that there are various levels where a person goes. Taqwa is not something you just press a button and then you are a muttaqi. No, you have to develop it, you have to train, you have to ask the mashayikh, the ahlullah, to keep us guided on that place. Another thing with regard to taqwa is that it will increase the value of our deeds. So we know there's one hadith where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if any one of you has to spend gold equal to Mount Uhud, inside so much of gold. We have seen Mount Uhud, how big it is, right? The whole of Mount Uhud, if you take it and turn it to gold, and we say, I'm giving this now in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not get the reward what the Sahaba will receive with one handful of gold. So in other words, the Sahaba, with the little gold that they give, the value of their reward, their amal is much, much more compared to what we do. Because obviously they had such a level of taqwa. They saw Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He saw them. They were in the company of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Sahaba were the most amazing creation of Allah Ta'ala in the Ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a whole different topic at all times. Very inspiring. So we always tell the people, read Kitab at home, read Fazail-e Amal, read the stories of the Sahaba. If there's something that can make us and our children become pious, is the inspiration we get from the life of the Sahaba. So in any case, the value of our deeds also increases when we are, when you have got taqwa. So many times now it comes to amal. So taqwa is not only about it's not only about deeds. Deeds have to be based on taqwa. So a lot of people are doing a lot of deeds, amal. And these deeds are even having effect, mashallah. People are benefiting. But this person is getting nothing. So what it says is one hadith, Inna Allah Ta'ala la yu'ayyidu hadha ad-din bi rajulil fajir. That Allah Ta'ala will assist this deen even at the hands of a transgressor. What means? It means that sometimes a person is doing a lot of work. He's got absolutely no taqwa. But his work is such that people are benefiting. The deen is flourishing. But this man is getting nothing. Qiyamah day, people will look at him and say, "Bhai, you are here and we are there. How did that happen? What is happening here? You are the cause of us coming here." So because he did actions without taqwa. That's why it all turns, whatever deed we do, ask ourselves that, you know what, is this thing accepted by Allah Ta'ala? As the Shaykh Ibn Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi, when he went for Ramadan in England, in UK, then, after Isha, all the people, they come and they make lines and they greet him and all that. We saw that in Stenga also. So they all used to come. They used to come in their thousands. So he was sitting and crying. So one of his companions told him, "Hazrat, why are you crying?" He said, "These people are all coming here thinking I do such a thing. I could be that sinner who Allah is using to spread the deen. But I am a nothing." So he started crying with that consciousness that came to his heart and his mind. That's why it is something you must always keep in mind. So taqwa is something that is all the time supposed to be happening. We must not be out of taqwa to the extent of the blink of an eye. Now, talking of the eye, if we are walking and we see some pretty girl there, you're not supposed to look. But for that single moment, we just cast a glance, that single moment, we have moved away from taqwa. That is how he's meant. So this is just with regard to the gaze. Any other aspect of our amal, we must not move away from the consciousness of Allah. In other, Allah is watching me all the time. The famous incident of Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. He was in the on the road somewhere. He came across a person, a young man who was busy tending sheep, shepherd. So he asked the shepherd, he said, come and join me for meals. So the shepherd said, no, I'm fasting. So Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu got a shock. He says, such a young man in this hot, in the desert, is tending sheep and he's fasting. So Sayyidina Umar, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu thought to himself, let me test this man. So he says, you know what, you're tending sheep here, give me one sheep, man. We can actually, you know, slaughter it and then we can even, you know, roast the meat and we'll also keep some and you can break roza also with it. So the man said, no, this sheep, they don't belong to me. They belong to my master. So Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, but your master is not here, man. He's not here. So this man said, fa'ayn Allah, my master is not here, but where is Allah? So this is the thing we have to keep in our mind. This is this word, ayn Allah. He said, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu went after that whole journey, he would just think, fa'ayn Allah. When we are doing any action, when we want to do anything wrong, when we want to do anything right, fa'ayn Allah, where is Allah? I'm doing this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us all tawfiq. Furniture.